They will hate you if you are beautiful. They will hate you if you are successful. They'll hate you if you are right. They will hate you if you are popular. They will hate you when you get attention. They will hate you when people in their life like you. They will hate you if you worship a different version of their God. They will hate you if you are spiritual. They will hate you if you have courage. They will hate you if you have an opinion. They will hate you when people support you. They will hate you when they see you happy. Heck, they will hate you while they post prayers and religious quotes on Pinterest and Facebook. They just hate. However, remember this. They hate you because you represent something they feel they don't have. It really isn't about you. It's about the hatred they have for themselves. So smile today, because there is something you're doing right that has a lot of people thinking about you. And this week's opening quote comes from Shannon L. Adler. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. It's nice to be here today, folks. I'm still here in the jungle in the Amazon. It's just starting to rain a little bit too, so you may be in for a few rain sounds, maybe a bit of insect noise during the show, but that's just the way it is when broadcasting from the jungle. But getting into things, the system that controls mankind really is all-encompassing, folks. It's a very, very clever system, and it controls us from a great many directions, in a great many ways, and in a great many aspects of our lives. But two of the most important aspects of it are spiritual control, mental control, energetic control, and control of us via legal fiction. And this is done via our misunderstandings and our presumptions and things that we just take for granted in everyday life that we don't really question. We're actually operating within a corporate fictional system without really knowing that we're doing it. Well, many people know they're doing it now thanks to the independent media, but most people are completely unaware that they are actually operating within a corporate fictional system. And these are very important topics, folks. These are topics that have been discussed before, but I want to touch on them a little bit today because I think it's very important that people see this. And I think it's very important that the energetic control be addressed as well, because it seems that many people are completely unaware of how they are being controlled energetically and how their thoughts and mental processes are being controlled. How many of the thoughts they are having are very simply not their own. And these are things that I'd like to discuss on the show a little bit today. And that's the thing, folks. Most people are being energetically manipulated, and they are completely unaware of this fact. But they are. People are being very cleverly energetically manipulated, and very often we are manipulating ourselves. And that is very key to actually understanding how the control grid works, folks, to see how we police our own thoughts and we manipulate others around us via the programming that we've been subject to. But these are two topics that I would like to get into a little bit today because I think they are extremely important. I mean, it's extremely important that people see the mind control and how they are manipulated energetically. And it's also extremely important that people see the legal fiction and how it constrains them and how they are basically signing up for things that they don't really know they're signing up for and how they are being deceived into giving their power away. Because the legal system constrains them simply by their presumptions and their misunderstandings and the fact that they don't really know the language that they're using when dealing with the legal system. See, people just don't understand what the legal system is, what it really means. They don't understand the documents that they're signing, what these really mean, and even the way their name is presented, they don't really know what that means either. So these are very, very important things that people need to pay attention to. And as I said, these are topics that have been covered widely by other people, but there's been a lot of misconceptions put out there and a lot of disinformation put out there and a lot of red herrings put out there, which have led people into a state of confusion. And there's some really basic, simple ways of looking at this that I would like to cover on the show a little bit later. But the energetic manipulation that we are subject to is extremely subtle, and most people don't even realize that they are being controlled. They don't realize that many of the thoughts they are having are not their own, and they don't realize how they are being manipulated into acting out certain scenarios. And this is done in order to hold society back, and we do it to ourselves, folks. We really do. And something that is very indicative of this behavior, or very indicative of this programming, and something that really does hold us back to a very large degree as a society, is tall poppy syndrome. Our propensity to hack down anybody we see doing a little bit better than what we're doing, or perhaps enjoying their lives a little bit too much. I mean, as a species, we seem deathly afraid, or many people seem deathly afraid of ever seeing anybody apart from themselves ever excel at anything. This, of course, has been taken to a virtual art form with the introduction of Common Core education, whereby nobody is able to excel, or at least nobody is able to be recognized as being someone who excels, and an education system where even complete blockheads are treated the same as people of incredibly exceptional intellect, and people are basically trained to stay below any type of degree where they may excel because they don't want to be seen as different to anybody else, and that everybody must be treated equally. This is done under the guise of political correctness, but really it's just a method that's being used to dumb down the population and make sure there are no high achievers in the school. Any high achievers that are there are not recognized and are trained to lower their socio-intellectual profile to the point where they are able to maintain a sense of normalcy with other people. You know, it's a kind of a situation where intelligence is being treated as some type of deformity, and we don't want to be too different or too much better than anybody else, because then we won't have friends. People won't want to hang around with anybody because we're smarter than they are, and nobody wants to hang around with people who are smarter than they are, because this just isn't fun. So this is the type of mentality that is being foisted upon our children in the modern education system. So it's very much part of the programming in regard to the education system now, but it also seems to be very prevalent in our society in general, whereby people in modern society are deathly afraid of seeing anybody perhaps enjoying their lives a little bit too much, or doing better than what we believe they should be doing, or doing any better than they are. Well, I suppose we're okay with people doing well as long as we are doing a little bit better. And it's a very clever but very insidious undertone that's been interjected into our way of thinking, and most certainly interjected into the independent media. You know, we've got a situation where most of humanity is energy deprived because, you know, you get humanity and you squash it into a box and you fracture it and you prevent it from ever discovering itself or even being who and what it is. You know, people are just never able to truly express themselves or even know themselves. And you end up with a situation where people are completely disconnected from source, and their most readily available source of energy is other people. And so the easiest way for them to get energy from other people, of course, is to hack down everybody they see around them who may be excelling. And this, of course, prevents humankind from ever moving forward, because anybody who has a good idea or really wants to make some change is immediately hacked down and told that he has to be part of the general throng, because there are no tall poppies, there are nobody that excels, there is nobody who's better. You know, so all of these things are taken to an extreme, folks. I mean, sure, we're all equal. There's nobody who has more value than anybody else. But people have creative ideas, and these ideas should be put into practice, and people should be allowed to have these ideas, and tall poppy syndrome prevents this from ever happening. It prevents real lights from ever truly being able to shine. But that's what happens, folks. You take everything you can from human consciousness and you squash it into a little box. And in that situation, people kind of enjoy hacking down everybody around them because it's a really readily available source of energy for them. And that's just the way it is. And that's the way our society has become. And it's kind of disturbing, but it's just a part of our society. It's a part of our mental makeup now. And of course, I'm speaking generally, folks. It may not be part of your mental makeup, but as a species, it is part of our general social makeup. And very noticeably so. And as I said, this happens because unfortunately most people are so disconnected from source now that they are simply not able to get energy, and so their most readily available source of energy is other people. But we're at a very pivotal time at the moment. We're at a very pivotal emotional time, and that's very obvious by what's been happening in the last few months, in the last year. I mean, everybody's been going through it. I've certainly been going through it. I mean, there's been major changes in my life and in my relationships with people, and I know a lot of people that have been going through the same thing. There's been a lot of changes in their lives and in their relationships with people. And people that I know that never get depressed have been going through all sorts of emotional extremes, and we're at a time now where we really need to regain some focus and to find some balance. You know, we've got to be tough and strong and hard as nails and resilient on one hand, but then we've got to be kind and loving and open on the other hand. So we need to find the balance between those two, and what we really need to do is connect back with our hearts and really look for the heart in all of our actions. It's imperative that we do this at this time, folks, but while doing that, as I said, we've got to maintain that thick skin that we've acquired over the last year. You know, in the last year, there's been so much going on to disconnect us from our heart and to disconnect us from source. And a lot of people have been going through this, folks, so it's very important at this time, I believe, that people do reconnect with their heart and look for the heart in their actions and be prepared to face trials and tribulations, but be prepared to stand strong and stand true and stand fast in your truth, but always be open and always be kind and always be gentle and honest in your approach. If you can do that, I think you're going to find a way through this period. You know, if you can make sure you're always centered in your heart and your actions, I think you're going to find that you are going to be able to avoid the trap of slipping into that energy harvest where you're just harvesting energy from other people. And a lot of it, of course, is simply remembering who and what you are and simply standing in the power of that. And of course, I get a lot of flack for even daring to suggest to people that they do such a thing. I get people posting comments and saying, what is this rhetoric of standing in who and what you are? What do you mean by standing in your power? And what it is, folks, is remembering what you are, remembering you are a human being, or at least that's the experience that you're having, and remembering that there is power in knowing that, and there is power in being a living man or woman on this earth. It's knowing that you are a living expression of universal consciousness, a living expression of universal creation, here to have the experience. You're gifted the vessel that you inhabit to have the experience in by your creator God, whatever you perceive that to be. And you're gifted this vessel to do with what you will and to make of the experience what you can. And there is nobody who has a right of ownership or authority over that vessel apart from you. And that's it. And there is nobody who you should be allowing to claim they have a right to rule you, or have a right to own you, or have a right to control you, or have any right of authority over you, because they don't. The only ones who have any authority over the vessel that you inhabit is yourself and the Creator who gifted you the vessel for your temporary use. End of list. And that's the thing, folks. We've forgotten that we are people. We've forgotten that we are man. We have forgotten that God created man and gave man dominion over the earth, and we are man, and everything below that is a creation of man. Man created government. Government created legislation. All of that stuff is way down the food chain. We are man, and we have dominion over the earth, and we've forgotten that fact. You know, and you start to say this sort of stuff, and people say, oh, why is he bringing God into it? Well, I'm not even religious, folks, but this is just the way it works. We have a creator, whatever that is. Whatever you perceive it to be, even if you're agnostic, there's something, there's somewhere that you come from. And whatever that is, well, that's your creator. So it's just the way you can look at it, folks. But it's helpful in remembering who and what you are, remembering that you are here for the experience, folks. Nobody owns you. Nobody has a right of ownership over you. And the only reason you believe that people do have a right of ownership or any right of authority over you at all is because you've been tricked into thinking that way. And it's imperative that we break out of this programming. You know, just knowing who and what you are, that is the most empowering information that you can have. And when you know how to stand in that, you know, as soon as you realize that you are a living vessel here for the experience and that no one has authority over you and that you are man, God created man and gave you dominion over the earth, just knowing that one simple fact is power. As soon as you remember that, that is power. Just standing in that one simple fact and asking the right questions is power. That is truly all the power that you need. Just knowing that fact is power. It's just that most people don't know how to exercise that power because they don't really have the confidence in themselves to do so. and they don't generally understand the language that they're speaking, and so they usually trip themselves up when trying to deal with the legal system because they don't really comprehend the words that they're using and how things are laid out to ensnare them and entrap them. And that's the thing about English, folks. English actually is legalese, and English is constructed in such a way as to be very, very deceptive, and especially written English, and so people simply don't know what the language means, and so they don't generally comprehend what they're really doing when dealing with this language in a legal sense. But that's something I want to touch on a little bit later. I'd like to stick to the energetic side of things for the moment. And really, folks, this also comes back to knowing who and what you are, and even looking at some of the things you are experiencing, some of the emotions that you're going through, where some of these things may be coming from. Even looking at some of the blockages you may be having in your life, realizing where these may be coming from, and looking at what you may be able to do to heal some of these blockages. Some of the emotional extremes that we have, some of the emotional barriers we have to overcome, some of the emotional blockages that we experience in our energy bodies, if that's what you could call it, it's realizing where these things may be coming from. Many of these things may in fact be ancestral. Now this may be a little out there to some people, but this is something that I've experienced in ayahuasca, and it's something that I've heard others talk about, is that many of the blockages that we experience are in fact ancestral. And the way you can put this into some sort of perspective is to truly understand what your body is made of. I mean, your body is 85% water, in fact more in some cases, but most people are around 85% water, and water has memory. And what are you? You were created, you are a product of the combined waters of your parents, and they are a product of the combined waters of all of their ancestors all the way down the line. And water has memory. That's the thing. The waters that created you, the combined waters of your parents, contain all the memory of all the experiences that your parents went through. All the emotion, all the emotional blockages, everything they experienced, everything they saw, everything they know is encoded in the water in their bodies. And it's the same for every ancestor all the way down the line. And you are a product of the combination of all of those waters, all of which contains all the memory of all of the experiences of those who came before who created those combined waters that created you. Now, I've actually spoken about this quite a lot, folks, the fact that water has memory. I've done talks about water. I've done whole shows about water. But water does have memory. If you look at the work of people such as Masumo Emoto, if you look at a film called Water, the Great Mystery, which goes through water clusters and shows how they're formed and confirms that water has memory and that it's stored through clusters. If you look at the work of people such as Victor Schauberger or Schauberger, who did some absolutely incredible work way back in the 1930s and 1940s or even before, Victor Schauberger actually showed and proved that water is a living, conscious substance and that it also actually gives birth to itself. He performed experiments where he witnessed pools spontaneously giving birth to water, instances where pools suddenly gained a third of their size and all sorts of stuff, like truly amazing experiments. He was another man who was unfortunately destroyed by the system, but really, really amazing work. And I would highly recommend if anybody wants to understand water that they look into the work of Victor Schauberger. There's also a book called Living Water by Olaf Anderson, which is basically an account of Victor Schauberger's life, which will give you a very good insight into what the man was up to. And then I do highly recommend looking into his work and truly getting an understanding of water, because water is a truly, truly amazing substance, and it is what you mostly consist of. Well, what your body mostly consists of anyway. But anyway, what we find when we look into all of this work is that water contains memory and that it's stored in water clusters. Water is quite literally the RAM drive of this earth, and it contains all the memory of everything that came before. That, I believe, is one of the reasons why there is such a deliberate effort underway to destroy the water on this planet. And there really does seem to be an effort to do this, folks, you know, to destroy the groundwater, to pollute the oceans, to pollute the rivers. I mean, everything. They're doing everything they can to pollute the water and to eliminate this collective memory. At least I think that has a lot to do with this massive attack we've seen against the water on this earth. And some people may see it as pollution, but folks, it seems to be so deliberate that I really do look at it as an attack. But getting back to the topic, you are a result of the combined waters of all your ancestral chain, and some of the blockages that you may be experiencing may well be ancestral blockages. Like, for example, if you've got a particular fear of spiders, for example, perhaps someone, one of your ancestors, had a nasty encounter with a spider. If you've got a fear of horses, perhaps the same sort of thing happened. There was a woman who had severe stomach pains all her life, and she found out that one of her ancestors had actually been stabbed in the stomach. And once she came to terms with that, she was able to heal that blockage. So all these things show that water has memory, and so it's very important to understand what your body is. It's like a biological computer, only it's analog, it's not digital. And that's another thing that they've attempted to do, a very clever thing, is they've attempted to superimpose this digital signal over our analog vessel. But you are analog. Everything that is living is analog. We are basically a living analog system, and everything that we are, all of our emotions, all of our experience, all of the experience of our ancestors, everything that makes us who we are is encoded within the waters that are contained within the vessel. And all the memory of everything else is encoded in the waters of the earth. It's very important that people realize the truth of this, because it's very helpful in them realizing who and what they are. And it's also very helpful in seeing how easy it is for them to be energetically controlled. I mean, what you are essentially is a conscious electrical signal that is powering that water-based vessel. But we are mainly water, folks, and it's the electrical signal that flows through the vessel that contains us. Well, that's our operating system anyway. I mean, research would indicate that your consciousness is not local to your body. It exists in the field around your body, surrounding you, and that your DNA is simply tuned to a frequency which downloads that particular consciousness into your vessel, so that's what you experience. And it's all run by electricity, folks, because this is an electrical universe. Everything is electricity. Really, when you break it down to its component parts, folks, it doesn't matter whether the earth is round or flat or hollow or concave or holographic. It doesn't matter, because really, when you break it down to its component parts, everything is electricity. Everything is energy. Remember the words of Nikola Tesla, who once said that if you want to understand reality, you need to think of it in terms of energy and of frequency. Everything is energy, folks. It's an electrical universe, and that is how your body is powered. That's how all the experiences you experience are contained. It's all electrical. Everything you feel or taste or touch or hear, it's all electrical impulses that are picked up by your brain. You know, when you touch the bench, your brain gets a signal, an electrical signal that tells it that your hand is touching the bench, and you go, okay, I'm touching the bench. That's how it works. It's all electrical. And the medium that it flows through is water-based. So you're basically a water-based biological computer that is electrically powered, and it is that electricity that contains the spark of your consciousness. Well, that's how your consciousness operates the system anyway, via the electrical control that it's able to exert over the system. But when you can begin to really grasp that concept, folks, that it's an electrical universe and everything is energy, then you begin to see how easy it is to control and manipulate people, to control them physically, to control them energetically, to control them emotionally via electrical impulse. And that's what you find today, folks, is that in many cases people are being controlled via electrical impulse. You know, their thoughts are being controlled, because all of your thoughts are electrical impulses as well. All of your emotions are electrical impulses. I mean, emotions set up physical sensations in your body. I mean, you can feel them. You can. So all of these things that happen in your body happen as a result of electrical impulse. And so it's very easy to control people, to intercept these electrical flows and to superimpose your own signal over these flows. Well, it's not easy for you to do, it's not easy for me to do, but it's certainly easy for them to do with modern technology. And they've been working on this sort of stuff for a while, folks. Back in the very second film that I made, there was an experiment that I showed in the film where they actually put a device on top of a cat's head, and they were able to change the emotional state of the cat simply by switching the frequency of the device. Now, this was back in the 50s or 60s, and they had to actually do it with a physical device attached to the cat's head. But, of course, now they're able to do it with radio waves, and this has been well demonstrated in the laboratory already. So It's not inconceivable to think that they are able to control people via electrical waves. And when you really look at all the nanotech that's in everything now, and you look at the smart grid that's being put in place, you look at everybody with their mobile phones, you really begin to see how this electrical grid is being put together and what its real purpose actually is. And when you can really grasp the concept of what you are a water-based biological computer controlled by electricity, then you begin to see how easy it is for them to actually do this and where they're going with this technology. And it becomes pretty obvious, folks. You've just got to look at it, and it's right there on the table for all to see. And this is, of course, why they are so keen for people to insert microchips into themselves, because once they do that, then people can be controlled externally via electrical impulse. And it's not inconceivable to think that these chips could also contain a virus or some sort of device whereby they could euthanize you once you'd reached your government-approved use-by date, or perhaps they could turn you into, well, whatever they want to turn you into, really, because once they've put a chip into your body, they've effectively put a back door into your operating system, which has given someone the ability to control you externally. So this is what is capable of being done with these chips, folks. And so really it just comes down to the individual and whether you feel you can trust your government. But when you look at government's track record, I would suggest that it's the last thing that anybody should be doing, because by putting a chip in your body, you are effectively handing control of your entire operating system to an external source, someone that you don't know or you've never met, who then has the potential to be able to control you like a little puppet and have you do whatever they want you to do. And in the current political climate, folks, I think that is a very, very dangerous thing for anybody to even be considering. I would suggest that people think very, very carefully before allowing anybody in government to insert anything into their body that can be controlled externally, most especially something like a microchip. I mean, the myriad of possibilities for having a microchip in your body, the Pandora's box that it opens, it simply is not worth the risk. And it is certainly no path to freedom, which is quite amazing, because that's what it's being presented to the people as. You know, the freedom to open doors and not have to wait in queues. But really, that's not freedom, folks. It's actually a path to slavery. But freedom is right there, folks. It's right there at our fingertips. All we have to do is participate in making it happen. That's the thing, folks. Everybody wants freedom, but nobody really wants to participate in making that happen. Everybody just wants to get the newsletter in the mail to tell them that it's okay and they can be free now. But you can be free. You can be free yourself. In fact, there is nobody who can establish your freedom for you if you're not prepared to claim it for yourself. There truly is no one else can do it, folks. And that is the problem that everybody faces when wanting to be free. It's one thing to want it, but it's another thing to grab it. And only you can do that. But that's something that I will discuss in the last half of the show, because I think it's time for a break now, folks. I think we've reached break time. So I better leave it there for now, and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company. I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So yeah, it's very important to see the energy manipulation and see how you are being manipulated. And it's not just the way I mentioned as well. I mean, it spills over into social aspects and educational aspects and business aspects. It spills over into virtually everything. There's always this energy harvesting going on between people, because most people are very cut off from source, and most people simply aren't thinking their own thoughts. Many people jump onto the bandwagon and start thinking whatever anybody else is thinking, and there also is this propensity for tall poppy syndrome, which I mentioned at the start of the show. So it's very important that people see this and see how they're being manipulated. And it's also very important that people make sure they're thinking their own thoughts, especially when they start looking at alternative information and information that's being provided by the independent media, especially when they start getting involved in infighting. They've got to start looking at the energy that it's leaving them in and ask themselves why they're focusing on other individuals who are also speaking out against the system, and not on the system itself. And again, this is a form of energy harvesting, and it's just another way we are controlled. See, they don't just need microchips to control you, folks. Of course, as I said, that's why they want to insert them into your body. They'd love to have people insert microchips. But even without microchips, there is a certain amount of energy manipulation that is going on now. I would suggest that this is a lot of what the cell towers are for. I would suggest that this is also what a lot of people's mobile phones are for. I would suggest they are getting frequencies from these things. I mean, I can only speculate on this, of course, but it seems highly likely that this is possible. Also, one of the reasons the police act in such a brutal manner, I would suggest, is because of the amount of electronic equipment that they have hanging off them and possibly the frequencies that are being pumped into them via this equipment. And also through people's laptops and iPods and iPads and all sorts of things, folks. There's all sorts of electronic devices that we are surrounding ourselves with that have the potential to be releasing all sorts of frequencies, not only into the environment, but also into our vessel. When you also consider the very real possibility that most people are full of nanotechnology, I mean, nanotech has been found in many popular sauces and dressings and cereals and sweets in Australia and other countries, and it's also been discovered to be in our general environment and must therefore be coming down in much of the aerial spraying that's going on. So when you put all of this together, you start to see why human consciousness is in such a convoluted state at the moment. Well, I would suggest this is a very good possibility as to why we are in such a convoluted state at the moment, because of the signals that we are receiving from much of the electronic equipment that we're being subject to. And also, as I said last week on the show that I did last week, Humanity is Under Attack, a lot of people have been reprogrammed and rewired and are energy deprived, and they are now in a state where they are collecting energy from other people. And we see the entire independent media quite literally at loggerheads with each other. There's people who were devoting all of their time to calling out the system who are now simply posting blogs and videos calling out other people and indulging themselves in infighting with their peers. And many people are responding and fighting back. And I see whole channels and whole movements that were once dedicated to truth and freedom that are now wasting their time just posting videos tearing down somebody else who has been tearing them down. And it's just this tit-for-tat ongoing thing. There's also a lot of new faces appearing on YouTube, a lot of new faces that are appearing in the movement, and the only real goal of these people appears to be discussing the comments of other researchers, which is quite bizarre. I mean, who needs to hear someone's opinion on the opinion of another researcher? Why aren't these people focusing on the system? Why are they spending so much time trying to create division and distrust and animosity? There's such an infiltration, folks, and there's such an energy deprivation going on, which is causing people to look for anybody they can to undermine in the hope of gaining what energy they can from that person and able to continue whatever path it is they're on. But it's very, very convoluted, folks, and it's very, very much a play. I really do suggest that people step back and look at things for a moment and step back and just put themselves as a piece on the board and watch how they are being played. Look at the bigger picture and see what's really going on here. This is something that I discussed quite in depth last week, and I do recommend that people go back and listen to that show. It was entitled Humanity is Under Attack. It's posted on YouTube, and it's also in my radio archives on thecrowhouse.com. But we are under attack, folks, and it is very much an energetic attack, and we really have to look at how we're being played. It's crucial that we step back and we regain our center. We get this toughness that we've needed to hold ourselves through this year that we've been through, because it's been a very tough year, and a lot of people have really developed some thick skin over the last year. It's imperative that they keep that, but they need to rebalance themselves and get back in touch with their heart and get back in touch with their kindness, get back in touch with their real love and zest for life. And the real reason that we're doing this, which is to free the human species and to remember that all the people out there that are attacking you and all the people out there that are saying bad things and doing all this stuff and seeking to undermine others, they're doing it because they're programmed, folks. You can't hate them. And I've been guilty of it as well. I've been guilty of lashing out at people and just falling into that trap of energy harvesting. You know, someone writes a negative comment about you and you allow that to interfere with your energy flow, and you allow that reality to become your own. You take that person's reality on as your own reality, and with that comes a need to defend yourself and get that energy back that that person stole from you. And I have fallen into that trap as well. It's been very, very carefully laid in the last year, folks, and I'm actually aware of all this stuff, and I even fall into these traps myself. So it's not surprising that other people are doing the same thing. So don't judge yourself too harshly for the way you may have acted in the last 12 months. It's been a very, very trying time for everybody. But we can move past that now. We can move past that. We can keep that strength that we've gained and that warrior mode that we've been in. But we can put the heart back into it, and that's where we're going to find the real difference. I mean, I think a lot of people have developed a lot of strength in the last year. I know I have. I've become very, very resilient due to certain things that have happened in my life. I've had to develop a thick skin, and I thought I had one already, but it's just gotten a little bit more tempered now. So now I'm ready to move forward, and because I've been able to reconnect with my heart at this incredibly crucial time, I really can see the light at the end of the tunnel now. And I think we're in a very, very positive time from this moment forth, folks. I think things are going to go very, very well if people choose to get involved. And that is really the only choice they have to make. They just have to remember who and what they are and then choose to get involved in making a difference. Choose to get involved in changing the direction that we're going. And of course, as I also mentioned last week, the first step in doing that is to stop moving in the direction that we are currently moving. That's the most important thing, folks. But there's all the tools available to us now that we need in order to do that. We just got to see this energetic manipulation, see how we are being corralled, see what our thoughts are, whether we are thinking our own thoughts. I mean, when you're looking at all these blogs and all these things that you're looking at, are you taking that reality on as your own, or are you simply considering it a possibility? Because that's what you need to do. Be careful what you believe, folks. Belief is the enemy of knowledge. Or anything is possible, all things are possible, but it's what is true and what is happening that is important. And as soon as you adopt a belief system, you cut yourself off from the path of knowledge. So look at some of this stuff that you're consuming and see what energy it's leaving you in, whether it's leaving you in a positive, high vibrational state where you're feeling positive and you can move things forward and you want to make a difference in the world, or is it leaving you in a state where you're wanting to hide, feeling distrustful of everybody, thinking that there's no way out and that everything's falling apart. It's all a mess. It's all convoluted. The response is fractured and there's nothing you can do, and best just keep your head down while you can. Is that the way it's leaving you? Because if that's the way it's leaving you, then it's a lie, because there is a very bright future that is quite there and quite available to us. All we have to do is participate. But there are ways we can deal with the system, folks, and a very important aspect of it is understanding the legal system and how you are manipulated by the legal system. There's been a lot of disinformation put out about this. I mean, it's been a big learning curve for everybody trying to figure out legal remedy and try to figure out how you are enslaved by the system. And the problem really is that people have been looking for loopholes and looking for legal remedies and looking for methods of using aspects of the system against itself. I mean, you can do this in as much as you can expose the system as not being applied evenly, such as the scenario I've been often suggesting with Palestine. But again, you're not going to find any remedy there. You're only going to be able to demonstrate to the people that it's not being applied evenly. And that's the point of that exercise. But to understand how the system works, you have to kind of become literate in the language that you're speaking. And that's the problem. Most people are simply not literate in English. They may be literate in English as it appears on the surface, and they may be able to exhibit quite a reasonable comprehension of the words, but that's different to really comprehending the language and really knowing what it means. Because English is a very, very deceptive language. As I said during the start of the show, English is also legalese, which means that it has a surface meaning, and it also has meanings that exist below the surface. And like I said, there's been a lot of research done into this, and it's been a huge rabbit hole for people to go down. There's been all the Freeman information that's come out. There's been all the trust law information that's come out. There's been so many people that have thought they've found the remedy, but it's really, really difficult to find because it's quite well hidden. And really the remedy in understanding the legal system, or overstanding the legal system, I should say, is knowing how the words work and knowing what the language is that is being displayed in front of you when you are using the legal system. Because it's mainly the written word that is so deceptive. It's the written word that is used to basically ensnare us from the onset. And then it's our agreeance, it's our compliance, it's our understanding and all the things that we tend to agree with when we're confronting police officers. But we do this because we simply don't understand the world that we're operating within. And again, like, it's quite difficult to even have these conversations with police officers because, frankly, they're just not smart enough to really know the type of system they're dealing with. They're only really operating according to what their training dictates. So it's not a good idea to be confrontational with police officers on the side of the road, but if you get into a position where you're taken into a courtroom, there are ways you can clarify things, or at least ask for clarification, which can lead to a real nightmare for the court system. And you can do this, again, simply by having a true comprehension of the language that you're dealing with when using it in a legal sense. And one of the reasons I've chosen to cover this today is because of the amount of emails I've been getting from people asking for clarification on this issue. And, you know, there is quite a bit of confusion around this issue. And also, quite synchronistically, someone actually sent me a link to a website a few days ago, which kind of explained it in a way that I hadn't seen explained before, because it did it in the manner of posing three simple questions that you can use in the courtroom, which kind of expose the language that's used in legal documents as being what it is. Because, like I said, there is a lot of confusion surrounding this. There's all sorts of stuff, you know, like the Freeman stuff and the trust law stuff, and there's all the talk of what the capital letters mean, how it means capitis, diminution maximus, and all sorts of stuff. The concept of lose the name, win the game, the talk that's going around at the moment that it's illegal to use a legal name. And frankly, I mean, that statement in itself is an oxymoron, because it can't be illegal to use something that's legal. And I know what they're getting at with the statement, but it's actually not really explaining things very clearly. And what I saw on this website was the whole concept explained, as I said, very clearly in the form of three simple questions, which kind of lay the whole thing out for you. And when you can apply these three questions to a courtroom or any type of legal situation, and also use the Socratic method as well, I mean, this is a good thing to do. Some actually posted that on one of my videos the other day where I discussed this concept during an interview. They didn't really get what I was talking about, but yeah, the Socratic method is very good. I mean, always ask where the obligation comes from, who created the obligation, what the obligation is for, why the obligation was created, how it was created, and when it was created. And those are questions that the court finds very difficult to answer as well. But the thing is, with court documents, folks, the all capitals name that appears on court documents, it isn't just that it's in all capitals and that it's the name that entraps you. Well, it is the name that entraps you in a certain way, but it's because of the way the name is displayed. Because on a court document, you'll find that the way it's written, it's usually written with your last name first, then your first and middle name come after your last name. And if that's not bad enough, the fact that it's written in all capitals, well, this isn't actually a legitimate form of English language. It isn't actually a legitimate form of writing. It's actually called dog Latin, and it is the language of the illiterate. And when you agree to a court document that has your name appearing with the last name first and the first and middle name after the last name, I mean, really, when you look at that, why would you think that's your name? If your name is John Michael Smith, then if someone hands you a document that has Smith John Michael written on it, why would you consider that to be your name? You would only consider that to be your name if you're illiterate. And that's how they use the language. So the way they phrase it on this website was to, if you ever are in court and you're there for a driving offence or whatever or any type of thing, use the court document and ask why the name on the document is back the front with the last name first. What is the all uppercase text? Because it does not appear to be any correct form of English text in relation to the Oxford English Styles Manual. And ask what styles manual did you use in order to construct this document with the name appearing in all uppercase text. If you use that method, and if the court claims you are obligated to just comply, then use the Socratic method and ask them who created the obligation, what the obligation was created for, why it was created, where it was created, how it was created, and when it was created, then you're going to find that they really have nowhere to go, because they have just shown that they have absolutely no jurisdiction over you as a living man or woman. And that's the thing. You need to go in there as a living man or woman. You don't need someone to represent you, folks. You don't need a lawyer to represent you. The only reason you would need someone to represent you is if you are dead, if you are not there to be yourself. You don't even need to represent yourself, because you are yourself. If you agree to represent yourself, then you're saying that you are not yourself today. You are somebody else who is pretending to be yourself. And what is that? And you're also agreeing that this is your name, which says that you're illiterate and you don't even know who you are. So, of course, you are under the jurisdiction of the court and they have to care for you and look after you, because you're not competent, you're not able to look after yourself. You're illiterate, you're ignorant of the law, so therefore you're negligent. And so you need someone to speak for you. So you should never allow anyone to speak for you in a courtroom, because you are there conversing with other human beings. They've just forgotten, or they've deceived you into not thinking that you are a living man or woman. And that's the way you need to deal with it, folks. Go in there as a living man or woman and simply ask how the obligation was created, where it came from, and what on earth they are doing using this text, which does not appear to be any legitimate form of language. Basically, what do they think they're doing? And you're a living man, and you've come here to seek remedy against this mark that seems to have been put against your name because you're really not part of their slavery system. And you don't even have to say that last bit, folks. You've just got to ask those three questions and use the Socratic method, and you're going to find that the court cannot claim any jurisdiction over you, no matter what you've done. I mean, unless you've killed somebody or done some horrendous crime, in which case you probably deserve to go to jail anyway. But if they're just bringing you in there because you breached some legislation, or they're claiming a right of ownership over you for anything else, then you really don't need to go in there at all, and you really don't need to do what they say. And that's the issue, folks. We just comply with what they say because we've forgotten who and what we are. But I was very impressed when I saw that website and I saw the way they had worded it, because there's so much confusion in this issue and there's so many people that go down these rabbit holes and they get 90% of the truth and they get 90% of the concept and they think they've found the remedy, but it all becomes so confusing. And when you've got an issue like this and there's no simple way to explain it to people so they just get it like that, then obviously you haven't got it right, because if you had it right, you'd be able to explain it in a simple way where people could simply get it. And that's what they've managed to do on this website, and I was quite impressed with the way they had explained it for people. So I put a link to that on my links page. It's actually a site compiled by a couple of Australian guys that had problem with driving issues and problem with the driver's license, and the name of the site is the Justinian Deception. And you'll find a link on my links page. If you go to thecrowhouse.com and click links at the top, you'll see it near the top of the link page. There's a banner for that site there. But I do recommend that people look at it, because you're going to find that you can apply this method to pretty well every country that is running on Black's Law, and that is virtually every country that's using this corrupt banking system. So it's really good information for people to have, and it's explained very simply. It's a very empowering knowledge to have as well, because it gives you the ability to be able to stand in who and what you are and to know how you're being deceived. I mean, you can see it there quite clearly. You can see that they are deceiving you by the language that they are tricking you into agreeing to using. I mean, they're tricking you into agreeing that this thing that's written on the page here is your name, because they're simply saying, look, you have to write it like that because it's required that you write it like that. But we never ask what that use of the word required means. Why are we required to do anything? I'm not required to do anything. I'm required to breathe. I'm required to eat. I'm required to sleep. I'm required to go to the bathroom. But that's about all I'm really required to do to make it through this life. Everything else is someone else's idea. The thing is, folks, with all capitals text, if it's going to appear properly, it should appear written forward in a normal way, and it should have hyphens between each letter. This is proper descriptive text. This is actually proper grammatic text that follows the rules of Latin. But text that appears written without hyphens is a debased form of text. As I said, it's called dog Latin. It's a synonym of text, and it's classed as being immoral, evil, and counterfeit. And that is where the deception is. It's right under your nose. It also happens to be the language that is displayed on tombstones, which brings you into the corporate world, corporation, corpse, dead, all this sort of stuff. But it's the poison in the text, folks. It is this text. If you hold any part of this text as being your own, you claim membership to the underworld, you claim membership to a criminal, counterfeit, corrupt, and corporate world, and you become a criminal, and therefore you are under the jurisdiction of the court. And that's the way it works, folks. It's actually a very, very clever deception, and the problem is that they know exactly what they're doing. It isn't like they are pretending they don't know. It isn't like they've been deceived. They know exactly how they are deceiving you, and they know exactly that they have no claim of ownership over you. They simply have never bothered to teach people the language that they are actually using. And again, folks, this is old information. This is ways that people have been using to navigate through the system for a long time. The only reason I've brought it to your attention today is because I liked the wording on that website, simply because it's explained it in a way that the average person can understand very clearly. But again, even looking at this method and even using this method, there is a danger of thinking that because you know this and because you're able to navigate your way through the system, that you are suddenly free, even though the rest of mankind is still in a prison. It doesn't really mean that at all, folks. It gives you a modicum of freedom. It gives you the ability to be able to navigate your way through it. But without other people knowing this and without everybody knowing this information and using this approach, it's never really going to work to any degree to actually free the species. You know, people have to be prepared to stand in this themselves, and they have to be prepared to speak for themselves. Now, with this information, I mean, if I was to go and speak for you in court, then you've just said that you're incompetent and you've just given jurisdiction to the court. You know, if you need someone to speak for you at all, it's because you're not competent enough to speak for yourself. Is that true? Because you are competent, folks. We are all competent in what we are. The problem is that we just have not been educated in the language properly. But these are methods that you can use to give yourself a little bit of power and to navigate your way through the system so that it can't really come for you. And you can share this information with other people, but ultimately we're not really going to find true freedom until we change the direction that we're going, until we stop these politicians bombing these countries, killing these people. And we really do have to free the people in Palestine and everything that is going on in the world. We've got to stop all of these wars. That's the only way we're really going to be able to establish freedom. But that's not going to happen until the people get involved on the ground in their own countries. And the only people who can stop the United States bombing the Middle East are the people of the United States. The only people who can stop the Australian government sending warplanes to Syria is the people of Australia. The only people who can stop England trashing the world are the people of England. Unfortunately, most people aren't really interested because they are too concerned with their lifestyle, and they believe their lifestyle is because they live in a rich country and other people should be there to provide them their lifestyle. I mean, I know people that think that, yeah, we should go into the Middle East and steal that oil because we need that oil. You know, that is just their mentality. And that's because they're kept in a state of scarcity. They're kept in a state of shortage by their system. They think money's real, and they think it's about financial gain. It's about material wealth. That's what life's about. People are just confused. And that is one of the real problems. The way people have been misdirected away from their own lives and been taught to focus on material possessions as a form of gain, when really material possessions are just baggage that holds you down to one spot. I've actually been giving away a lot of possessions in the last few years. I just feel a need to get rid of all this clutter. And material possessions are not who you are. They do not make you what you are. It isn't about what you own. It's about what is in your heart. What is in your heart is the most important thing. In fact, what is in your heart allows all of the other stuff to come to be. You know, if you're not in the right spot in your heart, none of this will work. If you are in your heart, then you'll understand how this energy manipulation works and you'll be able to combat it. If you are in your heart, then you already know who and what you are. And if you don't, well, at least it's easy for you to come to this realization. And you're able to use this legal method because you're in your heart and you know who you are. That's all it is, folks. It's being honest and having integrity and standing in your heart, knowing who and what you are, and doing this not out of animosity. You don't want to go and attack the judge and attack the legal system. You just want to point out to them that they may be confused because they've forgotten that you're a living man, so you've just come to clarify that fact, and now you're walking away. I don't wish to press charges against them. I don't wish to take any retribution against these poor, confused police officers, but I'm just not going to do what they say. That's the attitude that you need to have. And with that attitude, we can get through this, folks. But again, you can only do it if you're in your heart. But I think we've reached the end of the show here, folks. I'm going to have to leave it there for now. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company. Thank you to anybody who is supporting the Patreon account. Thank you to anybody who has ever made a contribution to the website. You people are truly what is keeping me going and the only thing that is keeping me going. I won't be back for a show next week because I'm traveling home. I may not be back on air for a couple of weeks because I've got a lot of traveling to do in the next couple of weeks. And then I'm going to be jet lagged when I get home. But I will try to get a show for you either the week after next or the following one. I will try to get one out as quickly as possible. I'll look forward to speaking to you as soon as I can. But please do take very good care until then. In Lakesh, my friends. In Lakesh.